I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you back in the house of the Lord. May the Lord grant you very special grace, special blessings, bless you with spiritual blessings this morning, so that our coming together to worship Him may not be in vain, but our coming together here may indeed be a time of spiritual refreshing from on high. Now this morning, let us consider the topic that we have in hand here: cleave unto the Lord. Cleave unto the Lord. That's the topic that I have for this morning. To cleave means to cling. Now, I'd like us, first of all, to think of this man, Joshua, once again. He was coming to the end of his life. If you look at Joshua chapter 23 and verse 1, you will realize that it is recorded here that he is waxed old and he was stricken in age. Means he was very old, about to die perhaps. Now Joshua 23 verse 1. Let me read that verse for you. And it came to pass a long time, not a short time, a long time, meaning to say it would not be weeks or months, perhaps years, a few years, to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about. In other words, they had conquered the land. Now they were enjoying peace for some while. That Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. So he was near the end of his life. And to end his life in a very glorious way, he must complete the work that the Lord had assigned for him to do. And so he had to give his final address to the children of Israel. Now, he possibly, as I said, was close to the end of his life. And so here he was gathering the people in this place called Shiloh. And he made his final address there. Now, he had a very illustrious life as a He was a star spy, actually. He shone as a spy in his earlier years when he was maybe about 50-odd years earlier, along with his fellow spy by the name of Caleb. Now, these were very heroic spies. They were heroes of the faith. They entered into the promised land along with 10 other spies. And only he and Caleb saw the land of promise with eyes of faith. And they came back with absolutely good news that the land was conquerable. What they needed to do was to obey the words of the Lord and to go into the promised land to conquer the promised land. The other 10 spies, of course, brought back news that were not favorable. And by their discouragement, the children of Israel refused to move straight away into the promised land. And for that, they were condemned to die in the wilderness wandering. I'm referring to those who were 20 years and above when they came out of the land of Egypt. Now, Joshua shone also as a general in leading the children of Israel from one victory to another. And he also was a very, very faithful personal assistant to Moses. And then when Moses came to the end of his life, he passed the baton of leadership to Joshua. And Joshua proved himself to be a very great military, political, and spiritual leader who led the children of Israel in the successful conquest of the promised land. So here was one who was a great hero of the faith and who must give his final address. And these were important words when he gathered the people together to give his final address. And one of the most outstanding commands that he gave to the children of Israel is recorded in Joshua chapter 23 verse 8. Joshua 23 verse 8. Let me read that verse to you. Joshua 23 verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Cleave. They must be clinging unto the Lord. It was absolutely necessary that they cling to the Lord, they cleave unto the Lord, because if they didn't, in next to no time, they would be getting themselves into very serious trouble, because God was going to take his blessings away from them, and he was going to bring his punishment down upon them. And so we read in Joshua chapter 23, all right, Joshua chapter 23, verse 13, all right. If you are fast enough, please turn to Joshua 23:13, but keep your finger at the same place where you were at earlier on. Joshua 23, verse 13. Know for certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. You see, there were still the remnants of the Canaanites in the land. The Lord said that if you are not going to cleave unto me, I'm not going to drive them out before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sights, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And that actually, that punishment actually came down upon the children of Israel in the later part of the history, because the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, which two kingdoms actually came from the original children, the original nation of Israel, were taken into captivity. The northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians, southern kingdom by the Babylonians. But if they were to cleave unto the Lord, the Lord said that he would shower his blessings upon them. And so we look at Joshua 23 verse 5. 23 verse 5. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. And that's what is going to happen. If you cleave unto me, yes, this is what is going to happen. I'm going to absolutely drive out all these Canaanites from out of the land. Now, the question is, what is meant by cleaving unto the Lord? As I said, to cleave means to cling. But actually, it's to cling very, very firmly, very, very tightly, without breaking. That's what it means. And this word is made use of in the marriage relationship when God talks about, gave the instruction that the man was to cleave unto the woman. If you very quickly turn to Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, you see the word cleave being used. All right? Genesis 2, 23 to 24. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now understand, this word cleave is made use of here before the fall of man. So the cleaving was one that was very, very tight. Yes, perfect cleaving. In other words, there will be no separation at all. That's what is meant by the word cleaving here, or to cleave. The union is so strong that a man shall leave his father and his mother to be joined unto his wife. And that was how closely the children of Israel must be cleaving unto the Lord. And that is how closely we must be cleaving unto the Lord. When we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us understand that we have been, or we were baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we were joined to him as of that day. And so intimate must this relationship be with him that the Lord in the New Testament says this in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. I read that verse for you. You don't have to turn to it. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. My dear friends, that is how closely we must be cleaving to our Lord. Yes, we must be willing even to hate our father, mother, brothers and sisters, our wife also. Yes, in order that we may be following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord here is not asking us to hate our father, mother, our wife, our children. No, by no means. What it means here is that our love for our loved ones must be like hate in compared to our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it means. In fact, there should be no comparison at all between our love for the Lord and our love for our loved ones. And if you were to put the two side by side, if there is a possibility of doing that, one would appear to be like hate and the other one is really love. Our love for the Lord must be 100%, and our love for our loved ones by comparison must be minus percent. That's what it means. So we must cleave unto the Lord. The questions are these. Yes, we are to cleave unto Him, but how to cleave unto Him? That's number one. Number two, what can stop us from cleaving unto the Lord? And number three, what can motivate us and what must motivate us to cleave unto Him? So the first point is to cleave, how to cleave unto the Lord. How do we cleave unto Him? My dear friends, we cleave unto Him by prayer. Yes, prayer is communing or talking with the Lord. Now, how can a husband be said to be cleaving unto the wife if he doesn't talk to the wife? Yes, he must be talking to the wife. He must be communicating with the wife. In fact, the talk must be very, very communicative. The talk must be very, very intimate between husband and wife. So how can we cleave to the Lord if we do not talk to Him, if we not commune with Him, if we do not pray unto Him? Now, do we not sometimes feel that the Lord is very far away, so far away that it is virtually impossible for us to cling unto Him? My dear friends, if we feel that way, we need to check on our prayer life. Yes, we feel so far away, but friends, we must check on our prayer life. I dare say that we feel that way because we do not pray enough. Now, why do we not pray enough? Or why do we not pray? Now, of course, the people who are living in sin, they will not care to pray. But I'm not talking about such people. I'm talking about those of us here who have this desire to follow the Lord. Now, why do we not pray? Perhaps it is the pressure of work that causes us not to want to spend time to pray, or we find that we have so little time to pray because of the pressures of life that we are experiencing. Or students, yes, because of the pressure of your studies, you could be doing your projects, or you could be doing your assignments, or you could be preparing for your exams, so much so that you feel that you have hardly any time to pray. Or you could not be praying because you are being consumed by the cares of the world. Now, the cares of the world here need not necessarily be illegitimate cares. I'm talking more about legitimate cares, such as caring for your children because they are not well, or your children are quite behind in their studies. You have to help them in their studies, and so many other things which are legitimate. They are the cares of the world, legitimate cares. And we are allowing these pressures or the cares of the world to keep us from praying. But friends, instead of letting these pressures of life keep us from praying, let them drive them to our knees to cleave unto the Lord, to pray unto Him, so that we will have Him manage the cares and the problems and the pressures of life. I told you about the great Martin Luther before. Luther one day was so very, very busily, was so very, very busy, so inundated with work that he said this: I'm so busy, I'm so pressurized, I'm so inundated with work that I must spend the next 3 hours praying. Yes, because he realized his need to pray. He realized that he needed to cleave unto the Lord, to ask the Lord to enable him to resolve his problems and the pressures that he was experiencing. Now, one of the most beautiful pictures of a man and a woman cleaving to one another is that of an old man and a woman walking hand in hand, side by side, after 50, 60 years of marriage. Don't you think that's a very beautiful picture? Very often we see this old folks here walking hand in hand and side by side, hand in hand. And we look at them and say, whoa, what a beautiful marriage they must have been having. Now, their walking hand in hand is an expression of the loving, close, lifelong relationship, lifelong partnership, or lifelong fellowship with one another. And that is how we must be cleaving unto the Lord. In other words, we must be walking with the Lord. We must be fellowshipping with the Lord. My dear friends, this means that we are to walk not in the darkness of sin, but walk in his marvelous light, so that we may be able to fellowship with him. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, good for us to look at these two verses, so I urge you to turn to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. Yes, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. Chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. All right, but keep your finger at Joshua 23, 1 John 1, 5 to 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we are in the light, as he is in the light, my dear friends, he is in the light. We must be walking in the light. In other words, walking in obedience to his word, in obedience to his truth, so that we may have fellowship with him. And that is how, my dear friends, we should be cleaving unto the Lord. Yes, we cleave unto the Lord by having fellowship with him, by walking in accordance to his word, by walking in obedience to his truth. Joshua 23 verse 6 puts it this way. Okay, 23 verse 6, he puts it this way. Look at Joshua 23 verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law. To keep and to what? Do, keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Now, my dear friends, we are to obey the word of the Lord and not to turn from the laws of God to the right hand or to the left hand. Now, from the law to the right hand, one Bible commentator says this, as if we did that, we are actually adding to the laws of God. Yes, we are actually adding to the laws of God. Now the Pharisees and the religious leaders during the days when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ walked on this earth were very, very inclined to do that. Or they were in actual fact doing that. They were guilty of doing that. They added to the laws of God by observing the many traditions that they had invented. Something like more than 600 of them. And they were observing these traditions. These were, of course, in addition to the laws of God. As it were, they had turned from the law to the right hand. Yes, and they did so to the extent that that they would say that if you were to perform acts of mercy on the Sabbath day, you would be breaking the Sabbath. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ healed on the Sabbath day, performing acts of mercies, healing the sick, the lame, the blind, and the dumb, they accused him of breaking the Sabbath. They accused him of working. But of course, the Lord saw through the hypocrisy of these scribes and Pharisees, and then he asked them this question. Now, if your ox were to fall into the ditch on the Sabbath day, will you not show mercy to your ox to pull your ox out of the ditch? Of course, the Pharisees would do it. And so they had no answer to the question posed by the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, we are to be careful that we not turn from the law to the right hand. Because if we did that, we can become very judgmental. We can become very pharisaical. Now, there are people in some churches who have, I think, turned from the law to the right hand. They accuse people who observe Christmas and who observe the Easter as people who are guilty of pagan practices. Yes, they say that Christmas is a pagan event, or was observed as a pagan event, and then so was Easter. It was also observed as a pagan event. And therefore, if we were to celebrate Christmas or celebrate Easter, we are being paganistic. Yes, that's how they would judge other people. And that is because they had turned from the law to the right hand. Now, we are also not to turn from the law to the left hand. In other words, we are not to flout the laws of God and go the way of the world. Now, in the case of the Israelites, they were not to turn from the law to the left hand by going after the idolatry and the immorality of the Canaanites. Yes, some of whom were still dwelling in the land. Remember, not all the Canaanites were driven out of the land. There were still remnants of the Canaanites in the promised land. For many of us believers, my dear friends, it is not a case of our outright flouting the laws of God or disobeying the laws of God. We know that we have been saved from out of darkness, saved from darkness of sin into his marvelous light. We know that. And we have already put our hand to the plow to walk the Christian road. We have started doing that, and we have been doing that. But there were times, I'm sure, when we look back into the world and we say, those were the things I used to enjoy before. I wish I could be enjoying some of them. Don't we sometimes feel that way? Very much like the children of Israel in their wilderness wandering, when they got tired of eating the manna that God was raining down upon them from heaven. They were looking back to the food that they were eating in the land of Egypt. Yeah, they dreamt of eating the leek, the garnion, the onions, the garlic, the fish, and the cucumber of Egypt. They were thinking of that. Yes, my dear friends, yes, that sometimes do happen to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that many things of the world are forbidden by the laws of God. We know that they are forbidden by the word of God, not for anything else, but for our good. God does not want us to do them. He doesn't want us to do them for our good. But the remain of the sinful nature in us, the remain of the flesh in us, occasionally will cause us to yearn for those things that we used to love before. So what do we do? Yes, we yearn for those things. So what do we do? Now, sometimes, my dear friends, we can be guilty of looking, of doing this, guilty of looking for loopholes in the laws of God. I quote someone who said something about morals and loopholes. He said, everybody looks for different things in the Ten Commandments. Some look for divine guidance, some look for a code to live by, but most of us are looking for loopholes. Friends, yes, are we looking for loopholes in the Ten Commandments? Understand this truth. There are no loopholes in the Word of God for us to look for. When believers love the company of unbelievers and love what they do, they will argue that they mix up with these people because they want to show them Christian love. And they further argue that if they do not mix with them, how are they going to give the gospel to them? Now, that kind of talk sounds very good, doesn't it? It sounds very good, and it sounds very evangelistic. Yes, but people who say those words forget the first part of the Ten Commandments. The first part of the Ten Commandments say what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and with thy strength. Yes, our love for the Lord must be first. If anything causes us to lose our love for him, that thing must be completely abstained from. Yes, the love of the Lord must be first all the time. The love of the company of unbelievers and the love for what they do will surely cause us to lose our love for the Lord. So don't try to look for loopholes in God's commandments, because there are none. Now, don't forget, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking I'm not saying that we cannot mix up with mix with unbelievers. We ought to mix up. We ought to mix with them, because if we don't befriend them, how are we going to give the gospel to them? I'm talking here about loving their company and loving what they love. My dear friends, those are the things that we ought not to do. But to befriend them, yes, we must befriend them so that we may be able to give the gospel to them. Next, we cleave unto the Lord by observing purity. Now, if you look at Joshua chapter 23, verses 6 and 7, you will see that Joshua commanded them to observe purity. Joshua 23, verses 6 and 7. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left hand, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Yes, you must not come among these nations. Don't go and mix with them. Yes, neither make mention of the name of their gods. Don't swear by the name of their God. Don't serve them. Don't bow yourself down to them. Don't even mention their names. Right. Yes, because Joshua wanted them to realize that they were not to remember the pleasures of sins of going after these gods. Yes, that was what he was forbidding them to do, to think and to dream of those pleasures of sins which going after these gods would give. Now, for sure, the devil does not want us to forget about the pleasures of sin. He will not allow us to forget them. Now, you think of a former alcoholic. Do you think that the devil will allow him to forget the pleasures of drinking that favorite brand of alcohol that he used to drink? Yes. Do you think the evil one will allow that to happen? No, of course he will not. He will want to cause that alcoholic to remember the name of that favorite brand, because he wants him to remember the pleasures of drinking. Or do you think the devil will allow a smoker to forget the favorite brand of a cigarette that he used to smoke? No, my friends, the devil will not allow him to forget that. He will always want him to remember that name so that he will remember the pleasures of smoking. Now, that's what advertisements do on television. They always try to cause people to remember the names of certain brands of services and goods, or services and products. Yes, sometimes you look at the advertisements actually look very stupid, or they sound very stupid. But it is the stupidity of the advertisement that causes you to remember the name of that product or that service. So that when you get to the shopping center, the first thing that you remember is the name of that product or that service. That's what advertisers want you to do. Now, I still remember some years ago in Malaysia, when the advertisement for cigarettes was banned on television, the manufacturers of the cigarettes came up with something that was very ingenious, I think it was. You know, what they did was, they didn't want people to forget the brands or the names of the brands of the cigarettes. And so they packaged holidays under the names of these cigarette brands. All right, so you could have an ABC holiday. They will advertise ABC holidays. But what is ABC? ABC is actually, or was actually, the name of a cigarette brand. Yes. So the advertisers did not want people to forget the name of the cigarette brand. The advertisers do not want people to forget about the pleasures of smoking that particular brand. So Satan does not want us to forget the pleasures of sin, and he will do anything to cause us to remember the pleasures of sin. If by causing us to remember a certain name, he will. Yes. So how can a person have the ability to not think of the pleasures of sin that he used to have, and not to come under the pleasure, under the power of those sins, or a particular sin? Friends, we believers have the power to be freed from the power of sin. If we choose not to sin, we are able not to sin. We have the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ residing in us. The day we came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, let us remember this truth. If you forget, let me remind you again. Remember this truth. The day we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are dead to sin as of that day. So if we choose not to sin, we are able not to sin because we are no longer servants to sin. And not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to dwell in us. This living Savior who comes in us gives us his resurrection power to be able to resist sin. So if we choose not to sin, we are able not to sin. So remember this truth. Yes? But what if we have sinned? Now, if we have sinned, we do not have to continue to sin. If we have sinned, what we need to do is to come before the Lord, confess our sins before him, repent of our sins, and his precious blood will cleanse us of all our sins. He says so. He says he will be just to forgive us our sins, faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins before him. And friends, after we have made the confession, after we have truly repented, we must continue to do the truth, continue to obey his truth, which means we are to continue to read his word and meditate on his word and to obey his word. Now, my next point is, what can stop us from cleaving unto the Lord? What can stop us from cleaving unto the Lord? Joshua 23 verse 1. And it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. It came to pass a long time, not a short time, but a long time, not just a few months, but maybe a few years after that, the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about. Now that tells us that the children of Israel by now had begun to settle in the land, or maybe quite settled already. And then they were enjoying some comfort, and then they were also enjoying some prosperity, yes, dwelling in the land. Now, one thing that can stop us from cleaving unto the Lord is this thing called material prosperity. One minister told us about what he observed in China. He said this, when China first opened up to the world, yes, people had not still tasted of material prosperity. So because they had not tasted material prosperity, they were very, very hungry for the gospel. So when the gospel was shared with them, the Chinese were very receptive to the gospel. But he said, in recent years, things are different. Yes, people have tasted of material prosperity, and today they are no longer hungry for the gospel. Now the Lord knows the hearts of men, and he says in Matthew chapter 6 verse 24, he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love another, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and monetary wealth at the same time. You will surely love one and you will surely hate the other. And so Joshua warned the children of Israel against the love for material prosperity. Now, why are people in this country so indifferent to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Now, it is true, sports is their God, the God of many people here. Now, while they don't fanatically worship this God called material prosperity, like the way they worship sports, many Aussies here today have come to become very, very used to material prosperity, providing for their social and their physical security. So what's the result? The result is people don't care to cleave unto the Lord because they have material prosperity to rely on. The average Australian's material needs are well taken care of. He wears good. It is good. Yes, the land is virtually flowing with milk and honey. Yes, today with $2 you can buy 2 liters of milk right in Australia. Now, which country in the world will sell you 2 liters of milk for $2? Very, very few countries in the world. So this country is literally flowing with milk and honey. The land is very, very rich in minerals, very, very rich in natural resources. Yes, the Aussie doesn't need to, average Aussie does not need to worry where his next meal is going to come from. Yes, he can, and then for old age, he can count on his pension and the social security program here to provide for him. So, what's the conclusion? The conclusion is, I don't need God. In fact, I should be looking for what to enjoy from the world, which the world can offer me now. That is, my dear friends, probably the thinking of many people here in Australia. And that is what material prosperity can do to people. It stops us from cleaving unto God. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must resolve not to go after other gods, particularly this God called material prosperity, but to cleave unto the Lord. Now, if the Lord prospers us materially, let us remember who it is that gives us the power to get wealth. Now, there's nothing wrong with having material prosperity, all right? It is just this, if the Lord blesses us with material prosperity, we must know who it is that gives us the power to get this material prosperity. Yes, so that we will not forget to cleave unto the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 18 to 19, you don't have to turn to these verses, but let me just read to you these verses. And this was told to the children of Israel before they entered into the promised land. God, through Moses, gave this warning to the children of Israel before they entered into the promised land. These two verses I read many times to you before, but let me read them again. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy father as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. Yes, if you enjoy your prosperity, and you forget who it is that give you this prosperity, and you go after other gods, yes, I will punish you. That was what the Lord said. And the Lord did punish them. Yes, they perished from that land. They were taken into captivity in the later part of their history. Now, as judgment came upon the children of Israel, my dear friends, let us realize that punishment will also come down upon us if we forget the one true living God and if we worship material prosperity. Yes, worship material prosperity and forget the one true living God, the Lord will surely hand down his judgment upon us. And spiritually, my dear friends, it will be disastrous for us and for our children. Yes, for sure, we will lose our testimony. We'll lose our witness. This is something that Satan wants us to lose. And that's what he wants to destroy, as far as we are concerned. He wants to destroy our witness. And my dear friends, if we go after other gods, particularly the God of material prosperity, our witness will definitely be destroyed. If we do not cleave unto the Lord, I'm talking about the older ones, don't expect our children to cleave unto the Lord. And they could very well become godless and pagan and be lost for all eternity, all because we did not set the example for them to cleave unto the Lord. Now, the next thing that could stop the children of Israel from cleaving unto the Lord was the evil influence of the Canaanites. All right? First, material prosperity could stop them from cleaving unto the Lord. Now, the other thing that could stop them from cleaving unto the Lord was the evil influence of the Canaanites. Their idolatrous worship was very immoral. Often, it involved sexual activities. As we said before, sins are very, very pleasurable to indulge in. So, it would be very, very tempting for the children of Israel to go after the gods of the Canaanites, and then get themselves involved in all those sexual activities. Now, Joshua was well aware of the powerful influence of the Canaanites, and therefore he told the Canaanites, powerful influence of the Canaanites, and so he told the children of Israel, shun them, shun the Canaanites. Now, what do you think are the worst and most powerful influences today? What do you think, my dear friends? In my opinion, that the two most powerful evil influences today are the television and the internet. Two of them, yes. I'm not saying that they are entirely bad. There are many, many good things that you can get from the television. There are many, many good things that you can get from the internet. Yes, you can learn many things. You can have very, very good knowledge that you can learn from the internet. Lots of good things. But friends, there are lots of also very immoral influences. The immoral standards, the worldly philosophies, the twisted stories in which crooks are made up to be heroes and upright people are made up to be narrow-minded crooks can draw people away from the Lord. And then what? Often sex and violence are glamorized. Such influences are really very, very difficult to stop today. Today, particularly. Why? Because the access to all these influences are so very, very easy. Yes, through this device that has become inseparable to both the young and the old. What is the device that is inseparable from the young and the old? Of course, the phone, yes. It's become inseparable. Everywhere you go, people carry phones. In the train, people carry phones. Whether they are young or old, they carry phones. That the phone is practically inseparable from people today. And then the trouble also is in many homes today, the television is made use of the babysitter in the home. Some years ago, a survey was done in the U.S. about the children's exposure to the television. The survey came up with this result. Before the age of 16, the children would have been exposed to something like 200,000 acts of violence. Think about the number, 200,000 acts of violence before he reached the age of 16. And then how many of these acts of violence were acts of murders? 50,000. So he has seen 50,000 of acts of murders before he reached the age of 16. Yes, today, how many more do you think people will see? I say many, many, very, very much more, because what he needs to do is turn on the phone. And there you are, another picture, you see. So I guess today the numbers will be very, very much more than they were before. Now, with such influence, can children expect to cleave unto the Lord? Or can we expect children to cleave unto the Lord on their own? There's no way that they will cleave unto the Lord on their own. And so it is no wonder that young boys would carry guns to school to shoot their teachers and to kill their classmates. And not only are we, not only are young people to guard themselves, not only are young people to guard themselves against these evil influences, adults must necessarily guard themselves against these evil influences so that they can teach the young to guard against these influences. Yes. Now, all heads of homes, yes, you must spend time with your family. You must read God's word with them. You must pray with them, and you must pray for them. That's your role, my dear friends. You must pray with them, and you must pray for them. You have to teach them how to obey the laws of God. And how do you teach? My dear friends, you do so by example. And you yourself must be meditating on God's word day and night and obeying God's word. And you must show them the joy. You yourself must show them the joy of cleaving unto the Lord. If you cannot show the joy of cleaving unto the Lord, you cannot expect your children to want to cleave unto the Lord. So you must show yourself to be show the joy of cleaving unto the Lord, and you must also be showing the joy of enjoying spiritual success and spiritual prosperity. Now, so how do we cleave unto the Lord? We cleave unto the Lord by praying, We cleave unto the Lord by having fellowship with him. We cleave unto the Lord by obeying him. We cleave unto the Lord by observing purity. And then we know also what can stop us from cleaving unto the Lord. It is material prosperity and also evil influences of the world. So we know how to cleave unto the Lord, and we know what can stop us from cleaving unto him. But, my dear friends, we also need to know what can motivate us to cleave unto the Lord. What can motivate us to cleave unto the Lord? The answer is love. Love is the thing that can motivate us to cleave unto the Lord. So Joshua in chapter 23, verse 11 says, 23:11, he says, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. There was no other thing that would cause them to cleave unto the Lord, except that they realized that their God loved them and they must love him in return. Yes, they must realize this wonderful truth that the God that they had was very kind and very good to them. He delivered them out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness wandering, and then he enabled them to cross the river Jordan, and he enabled them to conquer the promised land. This God was indeed very, very good to them. This God truly loved them, and in return, they must love him. Yes, that was the only way for them to cleave unto the Lord, to remember that the Lord loved them and that they were to love the Lord in return. Now, what was it that caused the Christians in the early church to serve the Lord the way they did? Yes, they served the Lord till the very, very end. They cleave unto him up to the very, very end, even though they knew that by cleaving unto him, they could very well lose their lives. But they continued to cleave unto him. The Apostle Paul says this: why did people serve the Lord the way they did? The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It is the love of God that compels us. It is the love of God that motivates us. Yes, what constrained them and compelled them to serve the way they did, to cleave unto the Lord, was the redeeming love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the disciples saw the Lord Jesus Christ dying for them on the cross of Calvary. They could see his redeeming love displayed on the cross of Calvary. And having seen that redeeming love of the Lord Jesus Christ, they say that we must love him in return. Yes, friends, what about us? Do we see the redeeming love, the sacrificial love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ displayed on the cross of Calvary? We must see, my dear friends, if we profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only when we see this sacrificial and redeeming love of the Lord Jesus Christ displayed to us from the cross of Calvary that we will be willing to love him in return. And it is only when we love him in return that we will be willing to cleave unto him. So the question for us today is, do we love the Lord as he would want us to love? Look at the cross of Calvary. See him dying there for us. Recognize his love for us. Realize his love for us. And then love him in return. It is when we love him in return that we will cleave unto him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies, thank you for your kindness, and thank you for your goodness. And this morning, O Lord God, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that you have given to us in saving us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And Father, we know that your desire is for us to cleave unto you. And Father, we realize that there are so many things in the world that can stop us from cleaving unto you. Even material wealth and even the attractions of the world, the influence of the world, all these can pull us away from you. But Father, we pray that we may always go back to the cross of Calvary and see the Lord Jesus Christ dying there on the cross of Calvary for us. Enable us to realize how much our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ loved us. And in return, O Lord God, we pray that we may love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We know that that is the only way, that is the only motivation that can ever cause us to cleave unto you. So, Lord, by your grace, enable us to cleave unto you. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.